I hope that you understand that not one single person, not one single committee can do anything for boxing. It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other. I hope that we understand that by being public figures, we are targets for character assassination. I hope that we understand that if we want to be leaders, we have to convince with actions, to show always good faith, to love boxing and love boxers. We should not answer a slap with a slap, but with action and facts.
The late WBC president, Mr. Jose Suleiman, very good friend of mine. We traveled around the world in many, many places. And I remember one time I was sitting in coach. I think we were going from Madrid, Spain, to Los Angeles. Anyway, I was sitting in coach, and the coach was all crowded, this and that. There was an extra seat up there in first class. Jose came back and said, come here. Brought me up to first class. That's just one of the nice things he did for me in his lifetime. Without a doubt, I have nothing but positive feelings about Jose Suleiman. Now, his son has taken over the World Boxing Council. Of course, I'm talking about Mauricio Suleiman, and he joins us from Mexico City right now. Good afternoon, Mauricio. How's life treating you, sir?
Hello, Pedro. Very, very nice. Thank you so much. And this was a big surprise to listen to my father's voice. Was a shocker. I'm very, very brought very, very important feelings at this moment.
Well, you know, he was good. Listen, we had disagreements, but he was good to me. I mean, he just was. I mean, we were in Japan together. We were in Buenos Aires, Argentina together. We were in Spain together. And I remember I was standing with him in Spain, and Don King had a few drinks, and he was standing next to the stage in Spain, and I kept saying to your dad, I said, Don's had a few drinks. He's standing too close to the edge there. He goes, Pedro, don't worry about it. Boom! Don King hits the floor. Whoa! I mean, it was like, you remember that?
I have that video. He was dancing with a group that came up to the stage, and I'm going to go and look for that video. I'll send it to you. Yeah. Unbelievable.
That was hysterical. Anyway, so tell me, how's life treating you in 2021? The WBC, of course, headquartered in Mexico City. The whole world is in the midst of the pandemic. How are you faring with that?
Well, it has been a tremendous lifetime for the humanity. Last year, we went through so much. Emotions up and down, and we were very happy to be very active. We took the initiative to do many things. This year around, it's a little bit different because when you feel it has gone and you're open and you're going to start fresh, you understand that it is not the case, that the pandemic is still having many limitations, travel restrictions. People are suffering so much from death of dear ones, or economics, or losing the job, mental health. So it's a complicated challenge to every single human being, and we're just trying to find a way to keep on going and keep motivating each other. I have a great team in the WBC staff in Mexico, have a great team of WBC members from around the world. And we're just trying to remain positive and active and to go and move forward.
How many countries is the WBC like based in? And I remember we went to Spain, we went all over the world, but how many countries?
We have 170 countries affiliated to the organization.
Wow.
And many of them, the offices are run by local members of the WBC. Many countries are affiliated through the Continental Federation, and there are specific countries which are very, very active with WBC direct offices. As an example, we just began the WBC Middle East Boxing Council. We appointed Amir Khan as the chairman, as the president of that federation, and there's going to be a booming development of boxing in many of these great countries that have not even had amateur or professional boxing.
Okay. I got to ask you about your dad. Dad boxed a little bit in Mexico. How many fights did he have?
Only amateur.
Yeah, I know. I was only an amateur. Believe me, yeah. It's still a tough game.
Oh, yeah. And he understood it was not his future because they broke his jaw. They broke his nose. And he just hung up the gloves. He only had like 12 fights, I guess.
I know I'm not laughing, but I'm saying that's smart because, you know, I remember the first day I went into the gym and somebody like just destroyed me. And I said to myself, you know, do I really want to do this? But I was back the very next day. So I guess it's the determination of the individual. Your father's been gone now 7 years. And of course, seven years this week, right?
Yeah. January 16, he passed on.
Okay, we're talking with Mauricio Suleiman, the son of Don Jose Suleiman, of course, the founder of the WBC, the World Boxing Council president for decades. The bottom line is he was the man that brought fights from 15 rounds to 12 rounds, and he was the scorn of some boxing officials, some boxing aficionados, because of the fact he cut fighters' fights from 15 rounds to 12 rounds. But I can tell you, from dealing with fighters 5 and 10 years after their boxing career is concerned, this is a great thing. And the reason why I say it's a great thing is that the punishment that fighters took in the rounds 13, 14, and 15, if they lasted that long, was tremendous. The training they had to do to make 15 rounds was much tougher than it is at 12 rounds. It just took more life out of the fighter. Fighters were able to go longer. I mean, case in point, Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. Had they been fighting 15-round fights, I don't think they would have been able to extend their careers as long as they have. So the 12-round thing, safety first. I'm down with that.
Yes, that was the greatest rule, the greatest moment in the WBC and my father's life. However, when it was instituted back in 1982, my father came back home from that fight. It was in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. McCrory Jones, mm-hmm. and he went to sleep for 2 days. He would not come out. He was so depressed because he had never experienced a crowd booing that he experienced when that announcement of 12 rounds for the WBC fight, the whole arena booed him, called him all types of names, and he was wondering if he had done something so wrong. But he stood strong, and today, as you say, many lives have been saved, and the integrity of the fighters after they retire has been secured for most of them. So this is absolutely factual.
Mauricio, what they don't see, what the fans don't see, is these bloodthirsty fans. I mean, I hate to say it, but some of these people, they want to see blood. They say, oh, these guys are going to war back and forth. They don't see the residual effects. You and I see these guys 10 or 15 years later when they come to WBC conventions, or we see them at get-togethers, reunions, and things like that. And the road has been tough for them, both physically and mentally and financially.
Yes, and specifically this rule, if people would open their mind at that time, you know, we took 3 minutes from television. At that time, there was no pay-per-view or no cable. It was commercial television. Mm-hmm. And we took away round 13, 14, and 15, the more expensive minutes. So this decision had nothing to do with finances. And every change, of course, will come with resistance. That is human nature. But the reality, when you see these fighters, Muhammad Ali said it, Sugar Ray Robinson said, they said, my God, had we fought only for 12 rounds, our life would have been different from what it is right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Of course, a good Sugar Ray Robinson born, Walker Smith Jr., and Muhammad Ali born, Cassius Clay, had the pleasure to be around both those men. And, you know, they were fine individuals, not only in the world of boxing, but in the world at large. I mean, when I traveled around the world with Muhammad Ali, Mauricio, you know, we go places, it was like being with the Pope.
He was the most recognized single human being in the whole world. And as you say, he would stop whatever he entered, the world, the city, the country, everything would stop and everything would turn into Muhammad Ali time.
Good enough. Mauricio Suleiman is going to stick around with us for another segment. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. There's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You could text us here in the studio. The number, 1-415-275-1613. The text line, once again, check this out, 1-415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide on Sports Byline.
I can tell you that if the calendar of my 20 years would go back to 1975, I would not change one single minute of those great, great 20 years. I extend to you all my profound gratitude for all what you have done for the WBC, but even better for boxing. Let's keep it up. Let's get together, work harder, fight in good faith, confront ourselves to come together with our goals and objectives, and definitely to try to leave a mark for the people that will come in the future, to leave a recognition of our passing through life. I hope that you all feel the same as I do, that we are very proud to be members of a great boxing organization that gets all the people of the world together with one goal: safety, human equality, and service to others in our dear world of boxing.
Don Jose Suleiman, May 30th, 1931, January 16th, 2014, we are celebrating his life. Little story about myself and Jose. Alexis Arguello, a former WBC champion, of course, from Nicaragua, the late, great, explosive thin man from Nicaragua, a champion, 130 pounds, 135 pounds, 126 pounds, never made it to 140. But the bottom line was, he had some crack problems around 1999. He got hooked on crack cocaine, and I called his wife, and I was talking to his wife through an interpreter on the radio, and Alexis heard in the background my name, Pedro, and he grabs the phone from her. He says, who is this? I said, it's Pedro Fernandez. He goes, oh, Pedro. He goes, I want to die, man. I want to die. He didn't know he was on the radio. He goes, I just want to die. I said, why do you want to die, Alexis? He goes, oh, you know, I got these problems, and the problems were crack cocaine. So anyway, I got off the phone with him. And having Jose Suleiman's home phone number, I called him the very next morning, I guess about 9 o'clock in the morning, and didn't wake him up. He was ready to rock. I said to him, Godfather, I said, we have a problem. He said, what's that? I said, I just got off the phone with Alexis Arguello in Nicaragua, and he's talking about committing suicide. He said, committing suicide? Yeah, he's talking about it on the radio. I said, what do you mean on the radio? He was on the radio talking about committing suicide. Didn't want to live anymore, wanted to end his life. I said, he needs some help. He says, so what do you want to do? I said, I think I can go down to Nicaragua and drag him out of Nicaragua, him and the family, bring him back to San Francisco and put him in rehab. I said, but that's going to cost a lot of money. He says, how much? I said, I don't know, 35, 40 grand? Maybe. Who knows? I don't know how much. I mean, a year of a whole family here in San Francisco, plus the rehab, I have no idea. He goes, well, whatever it costs, I'll take care of it. So he calls me. He sets up a travel for me to Nicaragua, and he didn't put me down there in coach. He sent me down there in business class, sent me down to Nicaragua. I spent a week with Alexis trying to convince him that he needed to turn his life around. And, of course, we had the priest there, and his wife was there, and different relatives were there, and we confronted him. And, of course, he says, I'm not an addict. I'm not going to rehab, et cetera. Anyway, 4 months later, he got in a car accident. He did enter rehab, but the bottom line was, the only man that was willing to reach out for Alexis at that point in time in the sport of boxing, because I reached out to a lot of people, was Jose Suleiman. He was willing to reach out with his pocketbook. Bottom line is, not too many people like that. And, of course, we continue our conversation celebrating the life of Don Jose Suleiman with his son, Mauricio. Mauricio, let's talk about the WBC right now. How many lightweight champions do you have?
Well, we have a great division with great activity. And we have three lightweight champions. If you want to address it in that matter, I am happy to talk about it because this is a new initiative, a new concept that the WBC has introduced, which is a franchise designation to only a few fighters that move the industry of the sport. Canelo Alvarez was designated franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Lomachenko was designated franchise. And when he fought Teofimo Lopez, they requested that that fight, if Lopez won, he would get that designation. The WBC approved it. And now we have Teofimo Lopez as franchise champion. Devin Haney is the WBC champion. And Ryan Garcia is the interim champion. It's a bit confusing, but this comes from 3 years of complications due to legalities and due to the pandemic.
It's not confusing to me because I just want these guys to go round robin. I want them to start. I mean, I don't want them talking about each other on television. Fight fans need these guys to get in the ring with each other. Are we going to see that in 2021?
That's what we expect. Precisely what happened in 2020 was Lomachenko Lopez, Haney coming back from the injury, fighting and defeating Gamboa, and Ryan Garcia defeating Luke Campbell. So the road is open right there. You have also Gervonta Davis. You have Jorge Linares. You have Javier Fortuna. So this could be an unbelievable year in this weight category. And that's precisely what you said. What we want is the fights to happen in the ring.
No doubt about that. Mauricio Sulaiman is our guest. He is the president of the World Boxing Council. Of course, you can always check them at WBCboxing.com. That is the website. Talk to me. Canelo Alvarez, of course, he is the most disciplined, and I don't want to put my Latino fighters down this and that, but he is the most disciplined Latino fighter I think I've ever come in contact with in my life is that he stays in total condition all the time. I mean, they got him ready to fight. He's going to be ready to fight February 27th at 168 pounds. Tell me about this guy, Avni. Yavni, how do you say the last name?
Avni Yildirim, Mr. Robot from Turkey. Olympian from the country. Became WBC Youth Champion, then WBC International. Defeated Glenn Coffey Johnson. Marco Perivan. Then he had the opportunity of his lifetime when he fought Derrell in Minneapolis, was doing well with him. Then he starts coming strong, 8 and 9 round, winning strongly against Derrell. In the 10th round, there's a cut, accidental headbutt. Fight goes to the scorecards, and Derrell wins a split decision. The WBC orders a rematch after Derrell had to fight Benavidez. So Benavidez beat Derrell. WBC orders Benavidez to fight Avni Yildirim. The pandemic comes in the middle, and now we have Canelo Alvarez making the mandatory defense against Avni Yildirim.
You know, I'm glad you brought up David Benavidez. He's from California. He's from the West Coast here. He's been a bit of a disappointment. I thought he was going to be the future. I thought he was going to be those future stars of boxing. And then, of course, he gets involved with cocaine, has a little cocaine problems, and before you know it, he's not the guy I thought he was. Is he going to be able to bounce back to 100%?
I am sure he will. It's a very unfortunate situation, but also a great example. Benavidez becomes world champion in the super middleweight division at only 19 years old. It starts getting money, starts getting attention. With that comes the temptations. The WBC has a clean boxing program. We send them a random test. It was a random situation. He comes positive with cocaine. So he, as you have been talking about my father, we did not just abandon him. To the contrary, we put psychological aid, addiction aid. He moved from the Arizona where he was living, bounces back, wins the title, is on the way to becoming the superstar. Pandemic comes. He has a voluntary title defense in the bubble at the Mohegan Sun, goes in there and finds himself in a small hotel room where he can only train 1 hour a day. No steam room, no sauna, no gymnasium, only a food brought up to the room, with a different diet, so he could not make weight. And now he's paying for those consequences. I am not making up an excuse for him. He lost it. He didn't make the weight. He lost the title. But he's back in the gym. He's sending the WBC his weight every month.
Okay.
And he's just waiting for his opportunity.
Okay, here's a question for you. Women's boxing is dull in a lot of people's mind. They don't produce the knockouts because the women are not physically as strong as men. Why do they use the same boxing gloves? In the NBA, the ball is smaller. In baseball, the field is smaller. In golf, the course is smaller. In boxing, you're asking them to do the same with boxing gloves, and I don't think women can get leverage on 8 or 10-ounce boxing gloves.
The WBC worked with Cleto Reyes and Everlast, a few brands, to develop a woman's glove to make it not same weight, but with the distribution of the materials around. But the reality, we should not look at boxing only for knockouts. As you say, people want to see blood and want to see brutality. That's what brings excitement.
No. But Mauricio, I'm not trying to say I'm gonna keep you around. We're gonna run up on a commercial. I'm not trying to say we need to see blood. I'm just trying to say if the women had faster hands, the sport would be better. Let's come back with Mauricio Sulaiman after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Go put your coat on, honey. This is getting good.
So get this. I'm in Aruba, courtesy of the World Boxing Council. About 2,000. Jose Sulaiman and I are in the restaurant. I guess it's our last day in Aruba. We've been there for about a week and a half, 10 days, something like that. Anyway, it was the WBC medical conference, if I believe it was right. Spider Bynum, late Arlen Spider Bynum was there. And we're all sitting at a desk in the coffee shop. And we're about to leave, I guess, the next day. And this lady had been taking care of us all week. She had been running back and forth and you know, making special drinks for us. Because, you know, some of us are particular. Like, you know, you want mixed fruit drinks. You want this. You want that. You want your coffee just right. Anyway, the bottom line is this lady was running all over for us. And so Don Jose gives her $200. Guess what? She only made $100 a week. So she got this $200 tip, and she almost fainted, Mauricio. She started crying. She almost fainted. I mean, I thought, I didn't know whether I needed to get up at the table and hold the lady up or whatever, but she was like, whoa. Oh, just great memories of you and me and Dad. I mean, we had fun. We did everywhere. I mean, we were in South Africa one time, in Spain, and he says, what do you think of Spain, Pedro? I said, well, I'm glad that my parents are moved to Mecca. My parents made the trek to America, but it's a beautiful country. And, of course, we've been a lot of places together. So let's go back to the women thing. What I'm trying to say is that women's baseball, they don't swing the same size bat because if they did, they would never hit the ball hard. So what I'm trying to say is, you're talking about maybe design, or they have designed a glove, or they want to design a glove. I'm not saying that women should knock other women out. I'm just trying to say they should have better leverage on their punches.
I agree. But, you know, women fight for 2 minutes, and they bring, when the bell sounds, it's an action-packed, sensational spectacle.
They bring it.
They bring it. And I have seen hundreds of women's fights, and I'm a big fan of women's boxing. It's a matter of trying to educate and to develop these criteria for the fans. But I like what you just said. I'm going to take this situation on the glove. I'm going to retake that plan of designing a more fitting glove for women. We have different rules for women, recognizing the differences, but in no way making this a gender situation, all to the contrary. And women, we believe in the power of women. There's a great card on March. Clarissa Shields, she's going to go out and do a pay-per-view card without any guarantees. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to prove the power of women and the space they deserve in the world.
You know, I'll give you a little tip on that. In 1993, I was a former policeman here in San Francisco. They wanted me to debate some lady by the name of Kamala Harris. She was a San Francisco district attorney at the time, and they wanted me to debate her on the death penalty. At the time, being an ex-policeman, I was pro-death penalty because a cop had just got killed here in San Francisco, and she was anti-death penalty. So we had this debate, and at the end of the debate, she had convinced me I was wrong. And I knew right then and there, Mauricio, I knew that this woman had, she had it. You know what I mean by it? That special it. I knew she had it.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And, you know, debate, that's a key. That's if you find a way to prove your point and to make it with logic and with facts. There's so many topics where people do not know how to debate, and you simply lose to the overwhelming opinions. But you are one of the best I have seen in proving a point one way or another. And my father loved talking to you, sitting with you, spending time with you. You were always straight. You were aggressive, but never disrespectful, never with an agenda. And you helped them to change in many decisions for the betterment of the sport. And I have to say this because I knew it from my father directly.
Well, he was good to me, and he always picked up the phone. And, you know, when I went to him with the Alexis thing, I was, like, in tears on the phone. He could tell that I was in bad shape. I mean, you imagine my hero, a good friend of mine, telling me on the phone he wants to die. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this was crazy. And this was on live radio, Mauricio. I was like, my mind was blown.
You know, we have a strong mental health committee. We are recognized by the Congress of the USA, by Grace Napolitano. She's the head of mental health. And we work with Jill Diamond and the WBC Cares. The reality is that boxers, not only boxers, all athletes, all performing artists, when that light is shut down, when the center of attention is no longer them but others, when the money starts coming in, when the reality starts to hang that they cannot perform as they used to perform, there's so much depression. And that's why we keep very close with all the fighters from around the world, doing homages, making them go to events, keeping them in the limelight, keeping them recognized and appreciated. But the reality is that mental health and depression is a great problem around the world, and this pandemic has brought it to its highest. So if anything we can do at any time for anyone, we are there for the boxing community.
You know, I was in Miami, Florida, doing television in Miami for Harold Smith, the late Harold Smith, and this was like one New Year's Eve, I think, like 1990, 94, 93, something like that. And Kid Gavilan was there. And he wasn't in good shape. He wasn't in good shape physically and or emotionally. Anyway, but he had told me, we had a little conversation. He told me, I said, so how do you get by? He goes, the WBC. I said, what? He goes, the WBC. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, the WBC sends me money each month. He told me this through an interpreter. I said, really? He goes, yeah. So, I mean, there's another instance where you guys reached out to old champions, this and that, and helped them out. And I know you didn't know that I was going to bring that up, but, man, I was, like, blown away. Dad just did, listen, like Dad talked about a little bit earlier, there was a lot of character assassination. He may have made a few mistakes, but for the most part, he always had his heart in the right place when it came to boxing. That's just the way I felt.
Thank you, Pedro. That's I lived, since I can remember, I see my father sitting at the desk working hard, traveling the world. I admire he was so humble. One day he could be in the most luxurious hotel for the greatest fight. Next day he would be in the small town in eating tacos with the four rounders. He had no, the inclusion, and he always told us, you never look up to anyone. You never look down to anyone. You treat everyone the same, and you pay the same attention and respect. That's why I'm so proud of the WBC, because we have great people that take so much time from their life and give service to so many people. The WBC is about the boxers before, during and after the championship years. So this is a nonstop all-around service that we do, and we're so happy and blessed to do it.
WBCBoxing.com. Of course, that is the website. It comes to you in English and Spanish. Mauricio Suleiman is the president of the World Boxing Council. I wish you the very best of luck, continued success, good health. It's good to talk to you again. And, you know, 7 years, I thought that it would be appropriate, seeing that it's been 7 years since Don Jose had passed, that you and I get together and talk.
Pedro, I am so grateful. I'm so happy. You have brought so many unbelievable memories, and I feel like a boost. This conversation has given me so much clarity and so much inspiration to continue, and I'm going to look you up, and we can do things as you did with my father. I would love to have the same relationship with you.
Wonderful. Mauricio Suleiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, we wish you the best. We will talk soon, my son.
Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.